It's Easter Sunday, as we all know, eh? And the day we remember especially that Jesus rose from the dead and is alive. We remember today that he was crucified on the Friday. He remained in the grave on the Saturday, and he rose on the Sunday morning. They buried him in a tomb. Now, what's a tomb? I think everybody knows what a tomb is. Anybody prepared to tell me from the back row there? What's a tomb, Arthur? Yeah. It's a cave. A cave, as opposed to a grave, a cave. And that's where Jesus was buried, wasn't he? He was buried in a cave. And the entrance was closed with a big stone. And that was on Friday. That was on Friday, which we call today Good Friday, because that's when our Savior died to save us. And then came Saturday. And that was the Jewish Sabbath. Now, we heard about this last week. The Sunday and the Sabbath. That was a Jewish Sabbath when they all rested and didn't do any work. And then came Sunday. Now, to their great surprise, that Sunday, Jesus wasn't in the tomb anymore. He had risen. And during that day, they came to understand what had happened. They didn't understand at the beginning, but they came to understand as the day went on. And we're going to be thinking about that later on in the service. But when they did understand that Jesus had come back to life on the Sunday, the first Christians began to meet together on the Sunday. Again, we saw this last week. And they met together and they called it the Lord's Day, which we still do. And that's the day when we meet to worship him and as we're doing today. Now, as I said, we're going to be thinking about Jesus' resurrection later on. And I'm going to be speaking all about it. And if you're staying in, he will be speaking to you at times. Perhaps could we have the points to follow. An empty grave, that's today's message, isn't it? The grave was empty. And then we're going to look at the tomb was cold. Jesus was dead. That's the way it was on the Saturday. Jesus broke the chains of death. Tomb was empty. Jesus defeated the devil. And then the challenge to us, how will we respond? How will we respond? It's not just an old story that doesn't mean anything. It's a challenge to us. There's a modern hymn that says, "See what a morning gloriously bright with the dawning of hope in Jerusalem. Folded the grave clothes, tomb filled with light, as an angels announce Christ is risen. See God's salvation plan, wrought in love, born in pain, paid in sacrifice, fulfilled in Christ the man, for he lives. Christ has risen from the dead." That's the message of Easter. But before we go on to that, let's remind ourselves what it was like for the first believers that first Easter morning. They went to the tomb. They thought the tomb was cold and Jesus was dead. So we're going to read something first of all. What happened on the Saturday. The Jewish special day of rest and worship. The day between the crucifixion and the resurrection. I've asked George to read for us. So George is going to do the first reading. He's going to read Matthew 27, verses 62 to 66. Jesus was dead. They'd all seen him die. They'd seen his body put in that tomb. And his friends, the disciples, rested that day. And normally the Jewish leaders, who were very strict about following the law, wouldn't have done anything that day except go to the temple and worship. They wouldn't have gone to see a Gentile, because that would make them unclean under their thinking. But that day they were no longer concerned with keeping the Sabbath or remaining ceremonially clean. That day they were concerned to make sure that Jesus stayed in the grave. So they go and they see Pilate. And they say, look, that imposter. That's what they call Jesus. That imposter. Said he was going to rise. Well, we don't want him to rise. How they thought they would ever stop it, eh? If he really was going to rise. So they go to Pilate. And they persuade him to seal the tomb some way. Put ropes over it. Put wax round the stone with special marks in it that showed that it was Pilate who had done that, so it couldn't be opened without anybody knowing. And they put a guard on the tomb, a group of soldiers who are going to watch over the tomb and make sure nobody opens it. It was as tight as the enemies of Jesus could make it. The tomb was cold that Saturday. Jesus was dead. God is love, and God and love himself died on the cross. We continue this story, how hope returned. I'm going to sing again at this point. We're going to sing a psalm of great confidence in God. It's Psalm 16, and it's a psalm that looked forward to the resurrection. I'll praise the Lord my God, whose counsel guides my choice, verse 7. And even in the night, my heart recalls instruction's voice. In verse 10, for you will not allow my soul in death to stay, nor will you leave your Holy One to see the tomb's decay. 7 to 11 of Psalm 16. The tomb was empty. Jesus had broken the chains of death. And that Sunday morning, the women, the friends of Jesus, walked to the tomb, hoping to put some sweet-smelling ointment on the body of Jesus, as they usually did after a death. Now, they hadn't had time to do it on Friday, and they'd rested on Saturday, so they came early on the Sunday morning, as early as they could, and they expected to find a cold, empty tomb. And as they walked along, Mark tells us that they were talking among themselves, saying, how are we going to move the stone? It was a big stone that blocked the entrance to the tomb. You see, they didn't expect a resurrection. They were going to anoint a dead body. The leaders of the Jews had got Pilate to seal the stone and put a guard on the tomb in case the disciples came to steal him away. But the disciples weren't in any condition to do a spot of grave robbing. They were disillusioned, depressed, without hope, and frightened, hiding from the authorities in case they got arrested too. But the women had the courage to go to the tomb. It's interesting, challenge to us men, eh? It's the women that had the courage to go to the tomb. But the stone was there, blocking it. Who would roll it away? Would the soldiers let them in anyway? When I read this, I wonder if the women didn't know that the soldiers were there, because the soldiers had been put there on the Saturday, and perhaps they didn't know they were there. But would they let them in? We don't know. They had hoped that Jesus would be the Savior of men, but he was dead. They had hoped he would be the King of Israel. He was dead. He had died in weakness and disgrace and under the curse of the cross. They had hoped. They had hoped, but all hope was gone. But But the tomb was empty. The tomb was empty. For the women and for later on in the day, for the rest of the disciples, despair turned to joy. What an extraordinary morning that was for them. There was, first of all, the angel. Well, first of all, the empty tomb. But this was the angel. And he speaks to them. He's white as snow. And he speaks to them and he says, "Don't be afraid. I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen. He has risen." You see, that day began with an earthquake. And the prophet Nahum wrote about God in Nahum 1 verse 5. He said, "The mountains quake before him, and the hills melt away. The earth trembles at his presence." Well, that day God's presence was there at Jesus' tomb. That day God moved in power, and the earth trembled at his presence. You know, have you ever felt an earthquake? You know, I think I felt one once. A very small one that happened in the Liverpool area. And I didn't even know it was an earthquake until I heard about it on the radio. It was so small. But big earthquakes are frightening. But this earthquake didn't bring death. It marked life. Life after death. Life that would never end. Now, the earthquake wasn't to roll the stone away. The angels did that. The earthquake was simply announcing that that God was there and God was working and the resurrection of Jesus. The angel rolled the stone away. He didn't roll the stone away to let Jesus out. Jesus didn't need to be let out in that sense. Walls and stones were no barrier to him now, the risen Jesus. The angel rolled the stone away to let the disciples in and the women in so they could see that the tomb was empty. And they were wondering how we were going to get rid of that stone anyway. And he rolled it away for them. God had it all organized. He sent the angel. For the guards, this was something they hadn't expected, eh? The guards had been standing around the tomb. And the angel appeared. He was like lightning. His clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled like dead men. Now, this they had not expected, had they? They didn't expect an angel to appear as they stood around that tomb in the night. They couldn't fight an angel. And so they trembled and fell to the ground with fear. The women hadn't expected an angel either, and they were afraid too. You don't meet an angel every day, do you? They had gone to the tomb to anoint a dead body, and they found instead an empty tomb and an angel, who appeared and who spoke to them. And in verse 9 we read that afterwards Jesus spoke to them too. Jesus met them when they were there. He said, "Greetings." They came up to him and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my disciples to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So that day turned from a day of tremendous sorrow, a day when you're going to go and anoint a dead body, to a day of great joy. Jesus is risen. See what a morning, gloriously bright, the dawning of hope in Jerusalem. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He is not here. He is risen. That day God moved in a new way. Something that had never happened before happened that day. A dead man lived again. Well, the women, they run back to where the disciples are and they say, "Jesus is risen." And the disciples said, "What? Well, Jesus is risen. And they said, no, can't be true. You must be dreaming. You must be out of your minds, ladies. The disciples didn't believe him. Didn't believe him. We read Matthew. Doesn't tell us that in detail, but the other Gospels do. He is risen. It'd be later in the day before they came to realize that Jesus really was risen. And even then, some doubted. You know, some people think that the resurrection story is an invention by men to give a foundation for a new religion. But think about it. If you were going to dream up a story to give a foundation for your new religion, you wouldn't have dreamt up this one as the disciples. For the disciples don't come out covered in glory, do they? The chief disciple, Peter, he denies that he knew Jesus at all with curses on the Friday or the Thursday night. He denies that he knew Jesus at all. The rest of them ran away and left him to his fate. On the day of the resurrection, they were hiding behind closed doors, paralyzed with fear. And they didn't believe the women who came and told them that Jesus is alive. And to cap it all, the first witnesses of Jesus' resurrection were women. And in that day, women were regarded as unreliable witnesses. Unreliable witnesses. If you were inventing a story, I think you would have done it better than that, shown yourself in a better light. And you'd have hidden the fact that you were frightened, that you were, had run away. But it's the true story. And the disciples told, or Matthew, he told it as it was. And all the gospel writers tell it as it was. The world had changed that Easter day. By his death and resurrection, Jesus broke the chains of death. The Easter hymn says, "Vain the stone, the watch, the seal, Christ has burst the gates of hell. Death could not hold him. He was the Prince of Life." We read in John a few weeks ago, at the beginning of John, "In him was life. The chains of death could not hold the Prince of Life." Jesus burst the gates, the chains of death, and Jesus defeated the devil. Let's think a wee bit more about that. Hebrews 2:14 reads, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity." That is, Jesus shared in their humanity. "So that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." That's what Jesus did on the cross. Again, you think, how could those first disciples come to see the death of Jesus as a victory and not a defeat? It had seemed like a defeat, hadn't it? It had seemed like a defeat. But of course, he rose again. He rose again. The Apostle John tells us the reason the Son of God came was to destroy the devil's work in 1 John 3, verse 8. Well, what is the devil's work? What is the devil's work? Well, he's a liar. He lied to Adam and Eve, right, in the Garden of Eden, and deceived them. And Jesus came as the way, the truth, and the life. And by his words, he proved that his word, by his death, his resurrection rather, he proved that his words are true. He's a deceiver. In verse 63 that we read there, the Pharisees said, "Sir, remember how that impossible impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days I will arise. Well, impostor is ESV. Deceiver was the NIV. The Pharisees called Jesus an impostor or a deceiver. But Jesus wasn't the deceiver. It's the devil who is the deceiver. He's a liar, always a deceiver. He blinds men's eyes so they cannot understand the gospel. Jesus came to open our eyes, the eyes of the blind. He caused Adam and Eve to sin and so separated us from God. Jesus came to bring us back. He's the good shepherd who goes out into the wilderness to bring back the wandering sheep into the fold. Also, the devil keeps people in fear of death. And I just read to you that verse in Hebrews 2. Jesus, in rising from the dead, removed the fear of death for those who trust in him. He conquered death. Now, during the worst of the pandemic, when every day we were told how many people had died of COVID, we realized how much people fear death. Every day we had that grim total of how many people died that day and how many people had died with COVID. Well, for those who believe this is the only world there is, we must prolong life as much as possible. We don't even mention death anymore when we many people. When someone has died, all they say is, well, he's passed. He's passed. But as believers, because Jesus has risen from the dead, our reaction is different. Death is still the last enemy. Jesus wept over Lazarus when he died, and we weep also. But we don't weep without hope. We don't weep without hope. When my father-in-law died, Megan wrote to her friends, "Dad has gone home to Jesus." That's what is happening for us. Gone home to Jesus. When we were in Africa, we got a note from a young widow whose husband had died suddenly, although not unexpectedly, but he had died suddenly at the back door when he'd come back from walking the dog one morning. She found him dead at the back door. And she wrote, "The Lord called Robert home this morning." She had hope, and we have hope. We rejoice in the truth of the word in 1 Corinthians 15. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The devil was called in that verse the prince of death, or the prince of death. He is the power of death. And we might ask ourselves, how could he have the prince, the power of death? Because death is a sentence of God because of sin, because of the devil's deception. It's the result of men turning their backs on God and in favor of Satan's realm of death. So it is in that sense that the devil is said to have the power of death. Because we turn to him and we're in his power. But Jesus defeated death. It couldn't hold the Prince of Life. And Jesus, by his death and resurrection, defeated the devil. An old theologian wrote, "He hell in hell laid low, made sin, he sin o'erthrew, brought to the grave, destroyed it so, and death by dying slew." Death by dying slew. For the Christian, you see, death is falling asleep in Jesus. It is entering that new life that Jesus described to us as eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things God has prepared for those who love him. That Easter day, or this Easter day, we remember that Jesus, by his death, by dying, slew. By his death and resurrection, paid the price for our sin, purchased forgiveness for us, and made a way back to God for rebellious sinners. Jesus defeated the devil on the cross completely and for all time. And we can say with confidence, when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. His resurrection proved his victory. Today we serve a risen and exalted Savior, Lord Jesus. The world has changed. The world changed that first Easter morning when Jesus rose again. There was an earthquake, a really big earthquake. But has the world changed for you? Has the world changed for us? What are we to do about this? What effect on us has that resurrection of Jesus 2,000 years ago? Well, Easter morning brings us to the challenge of the risen Jesus. There were two groups of people, Matthew records, who were in the garden were near the tomb that first Easter morning. The women and the guards. And there were two very different reactions. The women, they met Jesus and they fell at his feet and they worshipped him. Verse 9, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." They came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped. And he said to them, "Don't be afraid, go and tell. For them, for the women, there was no doubt as to who he was and what had happened. Jesus was the Lord. He was risen. And they worshipped him. And this is the right reaction. The only real right reaction to the risen Jesus, to fall at his feet and worship. Fall at his feet and worship, and then rise and live for him. Go and tell, he said. The right reaction for the risen Jesus is God, who rightly demands our obedience and our love. To bring us to himself, he's died in our place and rose again. And today we bow at his feet and worship. We say, "Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you for rising to be my Savior and my King. I'm yours. Yours always, yours totally." Used to be a hymn that some of us sung in children's meetings and Sunday school. "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Yours to command. Yours forever, God of love." This is the reaction of faith. Is this the language of your heart this morning? This is the reaction of faith. But to the others, the guards and the leaders of the Jews, they refused to believe. Even in the face of an earthquake, even in the face of the witness of the guards that there was an angel here and the tomb was empty, they wouldn't believe. You know, sometimes you think, "Oh, if you saw a miracle, we'll believe." But this is a warning to us of the hardness of the human heart. You can hardly imagine that these guards, having seen what they've seen, having felt what they felt, the earthquake and the angel and the stone moving, and fearing and shaking and trembling, and yet they go away and they invent a story with the leaders of the people. Tell the people that his disciples came by night and stole him away while you were asleep. How could they do that? We ask ourselves. How could they do it? And yet they did. They did. The heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? How can people today knowing that Jesus is risen and exalted, live their lives as if it didn't matter. And yet they do. Perhaps even there's someone here or online. And you know this story, you've heard it since you were this high. And but you think it's an interesting story, and maybe it's true. It is true. But you think, oh, well, maybe it's true. But you aren't trusting Jesus as your Savior. You're still living your life as if Jesus and God did not matter. Perhaps you think one day I'll come to Him, but not yet. One day you'll leave your life of sin, but not yet. My friends, this Easter morning, let these guards be a warning to you. Our hearts are naturally hard and deceitful. Even when we see a miracle, it doesn't change our hearts. But God knocks at our hearts today. Do not refuse God's offered mercy. Do not deceive yourself. You'll come to Him later. That's a devil's lie. That's his lie. It will keep you from coming forever. Today, God is ready. Jesus is ready to work a miracle in your heart. If you turn to Him in faith, He'll make you new. He'll take away the stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. Forgive your sins. Give you His life. And make you His child. So don't delay. Don't delay. Come to Him today. And for us, brothers and sisters in Christ, we serve a risen Savior. He has conquered death and sin. He reigns in the power of an endless life. And it's that resurrection power that is at work in us. That's the amazing thing. In Ephesians 1:17, Paul prays for the Ephesians. And he said, he prays that they may have the eyes of their hearts enlightened, that they will have the eyes of their hearts enlightened, that they might know what is the hope to which He had called them, and what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards you who believe, according to the workings of His great might, that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. You see, that power that is at work in us is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's the amazing thing. That's the amazing thing. That's, of course, the power that has brought us to Jesus in the first place. But that is the power that is available to us, that is at work in us, in Christ. And as our great high priest, He continually prays for us. So, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. May God bless His word to all our hearts this morning. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You that Christ the Lord is risen today. Risen and seated at Your right hand, a Prince and a Saviour. Father, we thank You that You are at work in us through that same power that raised Him from the dead. And Lord, we thank You that we can serve You. We can be steadfast, immovable, because You are working in us. And we praise You for that, Lord. Father, bless Your word to our hearts. Encourage us this Easter morning in the risen Lord Jesus. And take us from this place today and tomorrow to live for You in the light of His resurrection. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.